The post-Easter sermon series is titled The Resurrection and the Life, and it is all based in John 11, which is the death and resurrection of Lazarus. We continue this week with verses 4 through 15. You may follow along on page 105 in the Red Pew Bible or on the screen. John chapter 11, verse 4 through 15. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
The meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Our post-Easter resurrection series continues in John chapter 11, as we just heard the story. The sermon series is titled The Resurrection and the Life, and we're focusing upon Lazarus being dead and raised again. Last week, Pastor David specifically spoke on verses 1 through 3, where it said more than once that Lazarus was sick. He was ill, even ill unto death. And we talked about how we are all ill in a way. We're all sick unto death with respect to our sin, and thus we need a Savior. Thanks be to God that He provides in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Today we're going to go with the verses that we heard today, and we're specifically going to center in on verse 11, where Jesus said to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." I think about these words, and I wonder what has fallen asleep in me. I wonder and invite you to think about what has fallen asleep in you. What needs an awakening in you? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's something in your parenting. Maybe it's your selective following of the Ten Commandments. Maybe it's financial stewardship. Maybe it's your devotional or your prayer life. What needs an awakening? And more severe in this story, what maybe has died in your own heart, in your own life? And what needs a resurrection? Thanks be to God that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Today, with us in our sermon partnership here is Alan Ursch. Some of you may know Alan, others possibly not. And Alan's going to help us lean into this particular passage, but we're also going to use the backdrop of the Global Leadership Summit to unpack an awakening. And of course, we're going to be listening to a story, but you're going to be thinking about you as well. The Global Leadership Summit. How many possibly attended that last year who are present here today? Yeah, a good smattering. Holy Ghost Lutheran Church had 62 people. Alan was one of those 62 people who sat in the seats. And then we had an additional 79 people who were servants for that particular event. And so this year we're doing it again. And there'll be more about that towards the end of the service. But let's get to our content today. Alan, I really do want to thank you. Thank you for being here, my friend, and your willingness to share. Many know you, but some don't. So will you first just introduce who you are?
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. My wife is Debbie Ursch. We've been married 36 years. We have two adult children, Jarrett and Justin. I and my wife have both were born and raised in Fredericksburg. We have lived most of our lives in Fredericksburg area. I've been a lifelong member of Holy Ghost Lutheran. My wife transferred here 31 years ago. My adult life has been spent in the agricultural business, self-employed. I presently am principal owner and manager of a small research company that we actually employ 16 people, and we cover an area from Texas to North Dakota and Colorado out east to New York. And I'm a recovering workaholic.
Now, wait a minute. You said all that stuff about family and your business, and then you end that with, wow, I'm a recovering workaholic. We have definitely got to pick that up after a while, all right?
Okay.
But first of all, I want to jump into the fact that it's very interesting, Alan, very interesting how you introduced yourself by not first talking about yourself, but by talking about your wife and your kids first and then yourself. Will you comment on that, please?
Well, it actually hasn't always been that way. Usually I would have described myself by accomplishments I've made, things I've done in my work life and so forth, and I've come to realize that wasn't right.
Wow, and that's an effect of your attending the Global Leadership Summit in part?
Yes.
Wow. As a matter of fact, I understand you showed me your business card that you changed after the Global Leadership Summit. We have a picture of that. If we could put that on the screen real quick. Oh, man, switch it up on me from last night. Starts off, it says, Alan Ursh. Oh, my goodness, how many business cards say this? Led by Christ, husband to Debbie, father to Jarrett and Justin, and then manager of Agritech. That's different. That is unique, and I think that reflects something that has gone on inside you.
Yeah, I think it helps to write it down, and that way you have to honor it.
Amen to that, Alan. Wow. Why did you even entertain the idea of going to this Global Leadership Summit last August?
Well, as of a year ago, I didn't know anything about it. You and I were at lunch one day. We were talking the things of the day, faith and work, and as with me, too many things went towards the work side, so we were talking about issues I had at work and dealing with employees and stuff like that, and you offered GLS, introduced me vaguely to it, and said, there's some good tools you can glean off of this for leadership. And I thought, well, since you recommended it, I thought it might be a good idea, so I signed up for it.
Did y'all hear that? He listened to what I said and he actually did it? That's scary when you're talking about this crazy old pastor over here. Wow. Yes, I've been going to the Global Leadership Summit now for 11 years and have never walked away without something significant to take home, some tools, as you said. Well, what did you expect prior to going to the Global Leadership Summit?
Well, I still didn't know what to expect. I was looking forward to it. But as soon as I signed up, and as everything else, you put your email address, my inbox started getting hit. And the subject line was, get ready for GLS. You open them up, and quite often there was a package in there of something you could buy, something they were selling. I was starting to question it because I thought maybe it was a little too commercialized.
What VTech get me into here?
Right.
Wow. Well, what then surprised you, or did anything surprise you about attending the event?
Yes. As I drove out, it was held out at the University Center, and as I drove out there, anxious to see what might be, I got met with a sea of blue shirts with smiling faces. From the time I turned off the highway, someone guided me through the parking lot to an empty parking space for me. I got greeted 2 to 3 times on the way to the entrance. The doors were opened for me. It was amazing. There were blue shirts and people willing to help and serve right there, and they were all familiar faces. They were all from Holy Ghost.
Yeah. You know, those 79 people that were servant people, we did a Bible study on servanthood prior to our going. And in that Bible study, we talked about, you know, wearing the servant cloth of Christ, how he served us, how we're called to serve one another. And we, as a matter of fact, called ourselves servants. The Global Leadership Summit out of Chicago, they call them volunteers, but we took a biblical word, we took the word servants, and we shared that with them after that event, and Chicago said, wow, that's a cool idea. So even little old Fredericksburg maybe showing something on high up there to the Global Leadership Summit in Chicago. As you got into it there, what was your favorite, or who was your favorite speaker? There were 14 speakers, right. And so who was your favorite?
It's really hard to pick one out because there were so many good ones there, and they spoke to different aspects. It was tools that you can use in business. There were faith leaders there and so forth. One that sticks out for me is Pat Lencioni. He wrote the book, The Ideal Team Player, and he hit my heart listening to him, and our business has actually adopted his principles for leadership and teamwork, and I think because what we've adopted and learned from that, our turnover rate has decreased. But going through it, the two speakers that really spoke to me and hit were, one was an interview that Bishop T.D. Jakes had with Bill Hybels.
I remember.
Oh, man, that
powerful.
That was powerful. And then at the end, Wilfredo de Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke and he took the roof off. It was good.
Yeah. Alan, when I think about going to an event and investing 2 days, 2 days to go there and be better, become better as a person of faith, as a business person, as a dad, as a husband, I always think about what are some of the things I can actually, well, four things come up in my head. How was I affirmed? How was I encouraged? Was there a challenge? And was I disappointed? Would you comment on each of those, beginning with how are you affirmed, or were you affirmed?
Well, yeah, and it might be a little personal for me, but I did go there to get business leadership training.
Sure.
Was my original. And sure, some of these speakers that talked and what they did in their business and so forth very much aligned with what I was doing, and I was feeling pretty proud at times that I was doing the right thing, and, you know, we're hitting it good.
Sure.
So, but maybe that was a little selfish, actually.
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think it's always good to be affirmed when we're getting it right and doing it right. So praise be to God for that affirmation. How else were you, let's use the word, encouraged?
Okay. Well, John Maxwell took care of that.
He, okay.
A great speaker. He wrote the book Intentional Living. It's a book about having significance in your life. And when he spoke, it was pretty good. And actually, after he spoke, and the next break, all his books that were in the library to be sold left.
Yep.
We ordered online and had a back order on them. But he was very good. And I've watched his tape 3 times. I'm reading his book the second time now. Actually, you have a class on
you
his
bet.
Book.
We've got about 25 people that are attending it right now.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. One of his great quotes I remember is, we all have uphill goals, but we have downhill habits. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really great piece with that. Alan, how were you challenged?
I was challenged, definitely. Dr. Henry Cloud, he's a clinical psychiatrist. He was actually in an interview with Bill Hybels. I don't remember what they talked about in the interview. I mean, this thing has so much stuff there. But I'm a kind of numbers and pictures guy, and he got up and there was an easel with a chart on there. And he went up there and he said, there's four types of leaders. One of them is good. And he drew this square up on this chart. And he wrote up in this corner, a mess. Then he described the person, leader, that's a mess. I said, good, it's not me. He goes to this other corner and he writes the addict, the drug user, the alcoholic, sitting there. I'm doing good. I got a 50% chance now I'm a good leader. I'm feeling good. He goes down here in this bottom corner and he writes workaholic. And boy, did that hit. That hit hard.
Appreciate you sharing that, and a real conviction as we're challenged to think about our habits and the things that we do and the things that we don't do. We're going to still leave that word recovering workaholic or workaholic to just a couple moments from now. We'll pick up on that again. But was there anything in the event that disappointed you?
Yeah, the one thing that sticks out for me is that wrapper they had. That was 5 minutes I could have used better.
Yeah.
But if that's what it takes to get people involved and to hear the messages, it's worth, I can tolerate that.
Alan, I appreciate you saying that. We're talking about preferences here and how I best hear something. And some people can hear through that medium. There's other mediums that you and I may hear through. But if that reaches someone, then praise be to God. You know, it's one of the reasons we here at Holy Ghost do 3 different worship styles, because not every worship style fits every person. We have it 6 o'clock informal. We have an 8 o'clock traditional on the organ. And then at 10:30, who knows what you're going to get, right? A bluegrass, a cowboy service, polka service, whatever works to get the message in there. And it's not about me. It's about how the word can get out to more and more people. Appreciate you bringing that up. Appreciate you saying that particular piece. Price-wise, talk to us money-wise. Was the bang worth your buck?
Yes, it was. As I mentioned earlier, I'm somewhat a numbers guy, and you try to justify things by the numbers and so forth. And I would say from 2 aspects. One, from our business, what I have gleaned from that can I put it on a line somewhere? No, but yes, we have just the turnover changing. It was well worth it. But I think more so our personal lives, what you gain from that, how it affects your life, your relationships, your marriage, how it can change that. I don't think you can put a price on that. It was well worth it.
All for $89.
Right.
For 2 days. Yeah. I think most of us can handle that. Alan, more specifically, how did attending the Global Leadership Summit make you a better man of faith, a better business person, better dad, better husband?
I've refocused my life since then. It's had an effect. It's hard to explain. I don't know that I always feel it, but I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've got something to work for.
Mm-hmm.
A good example, about 3 weeks ago in my office, 2 of my longtime employees, we were talking. I was encouraging them to go to GLS, and we were talking about it, how it might help their lives. And one of them said, "You have changed. You have changed since last August." And the other one commented, "It's now fun to go to work."
Oh, boy. As if it wasn't fun before.
Right.
Something obviously, evidently was awakened in you to be able to work on that. You said recovering workaholic. I appreciate that, because recovering means that we're always working on it. It's always a chore, always a work in progress, so to speak. And I really appreciate you uplifting that. You know, so many times we as a chairman people, right? We're good old chairmans around here. We celebrate that part of our DNA where we work 60, 80, 90 hours a week. We praise everybody for doing that. Way to go. Kill yourself. Yeah, type of thing. But literally, that's kind of what happens. There's a sacrifice in the midst of that. If we focus so much on work, then something else is out of kilter, out of balance. And that's either family, relationships, maybe even our own personal health. I understand that you're also uplifting a scholarship for your employees so that they might be able or encouraged to attend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Alan, would you encourage others to possibly attend this GLS, and why or why not?
Yes, I would encourage it. I would have never thought I'd have gained as much as I did from it. You cannot walk away from there without taking something from it, internally and so forth. If you walk away and don't gain something from it, you probably need to check for a pulse.
Ouch. That's good. That's good. You know, I think it reminds me that some of us may be alive, but are we really living? Yeah. Alan, to close out here, what happened after the GLS when it ended on Friday? Would you take us down that road?
Okay. Yeah, there's a story that goes with it. But I need to preface this story with a couple of items that are important to it. First, I get this voice in my head that speaks to me from time to time. Some call it conscience. I think it is. But I also get another voice that, this voice I feel is God speaking to me through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then, I believe Satan puts a voice in there, tries to imitate God. And it's left to me to decipher the two and cast out the evil. Secondly, important to the story, our family has a ranch down south of Comfort that my grandfather purchased back in 1947. We're third generation. I love to spend time down there and so forth. So anyhow, it was the last day of the Globet Summit. They turned us out. It's about 4:30. So I'm walking out, and lo and behold, Roland Borchers and Gerald Shanks are there still opening doors for us in those blue shirts, saying, thanks for coming. Have a great weekend. So I leave. I get in my pickup. I'm driving out of the parking lot, and I get up towards 290. I've got my first decision to make now. Where do I go from here? Do I go left? Do I go right? Left, go about 8 miles, I go home. If I take a right, go into town, I'll probably track down Main Street, take 87 North, and I go to my office. If I go home and be home at 5 o'clock, this is not a normal thing for me to be at home at 5. My neighbors would think something's wrong if I'm there. So I do the normal thing. I take the right. I'm heading in towards Main Street. I come up on Friendship Lane, right there where Laquita is. This voice starts talking to me. It says, Alan, take a left. Take a left here on Friendship. We got to talk. Think a little bit, I ignore it. I go on. I'm continuing on in towards town. We get up to Highway Street where Whataburger is. That voice is getting a little more prominent. So, Alan, take a left. We need to talk. You need to go to a quiet place. And go to the ranch. I ignore that. I continue on, and I'm thinking, I'm going to the office. Nobody's there. It's quiet. I'm behind on my work. I haven't been at work 2 days. So I'm heading there. God speaks back. He says, your office is a noisy place. There's too many distractions. Go to the ranch. I get up to by Nimitz Center where 87 South is. I turn on 87 and I make the 30-minute trip down to the ranch. I pull into the ranch, drive out in the pasture, shut the pickup off. I ditch my cell phone, actually take my cap off, which I always wear. I take it off, leave it in the pickup so God can find me. And I start walking. And I listen. And I walked. Mind you, this is the middle of August. It was near 100 degrees. 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I am sweating, literally just sweating and walking. That day, That day, I changed my life. Glory be to God.